Back live from the stand, talking with Ron Scott, otherwise known as Green One, communication center for more than 50 years here at Oshkosh and before that at Rockford, and Bob Lumley, who's with the Vintage Aircraft Association, sharing some stories of our founder, Paul Poberesny, as we salute Paul today and throughout the week. There's a program tonight at Theater in the Woods. There was a memorial yesterday at the memorial wall with a beautiful flyover. Were either of you able to be there?
We were there.
Yeah. Good.
Or I was. I don't know if I was a lumper. But.
Yeah. Were you there, Bob?
I did not make it last night.
All right. Well, tell us a little bit about what happened at the ceremony last night.
Oh, it was, we got there a little bit late, but it was talk about, you know, Paul and the old days and stuff like that. Several people spoke. Maybe a nice flyover by the B-17 and three B-51 missing man. It worked out really nice.
Good.
But it was more of a joyous thing. I mean, it was a very short service, so to speak, and then we mingled and saw Audra and
good.
Charlie.
Yeah.
The little grandbaby.
Yes.
Or no, she's a great grandbaby.
Yes, indeed.
Yes.
Yeah,
indeed.
Audra and Mike's little girl.
It's the only thing I ever beat Paul on. I had two great grandkids before he had one. I used to razz him about that too, but yeah, it was very, very nice.
Very good.
Nice, yeah.
Good. Bob, but tell us some of the things that stand out to you in your years of being around Paul and Audrey. I mean, they really were an integral part of a team that helped put EAA together.
Team they definitely are. You know, you don't speak about one without the other.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And Audrey's, you know, herself is just a fabulous lady. Mom. Mm-hmm. She's everyone's mom.
Yeah.
But they just treat you very openly. They always have, honestly. And Paul was just a delight to be with. His involvement and the people, he'd show up at your campsite and you never knew who he was going to bring along. But they were people. His involvement, not just in EAA here, his involvement out at Reno. I had the opportunity to be out there with him one year and it was just, wow. That's all I could really say. He was so much fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good times.
The opportunity to fly with him a few times. He was so smooth. And he would sit there and fuss at me about my feet not working right on the pedals and on and on. And he was right. That's the bad part about it. You couldn't argue with him. But he was fun.
Good.
You know, we had a lot of meals together. I do know he liked corn on a cob. But Paul was special.
Yes.
And I think anyone that knew him would say the same thing.
You spent a lot of time at the airplane factory with Paul. Some favorite projects that you worked on through the years?
I guess the favorite project was the Curtis Robin that was in the museum. And what I understand, Paul was talking about that airplane used to be red and yellow. And everybody said, no, they were always yellow airplanes. Now it's red and yellow. And then he told the story about the airplane, how as a kid, he almost got a ride in it. And he washed the airplane, scrubbed it, and got it all polished for the owner, and the owner stiffed him on the ride. Well, he ended up with the airplane. And I'd call it a Paul thing. You decide that airplane needed to be restored, and the group started taking it apart and brought it over to the airplane factory. It was redone with volunteers. I think everybody had a hand in it. And to be able to work with him on that and some of the other projects was just fabulous. I learned a lot. Probably learned more about people than airplanes. But was able to ride with him in the airplane one time, and he certainly is smooth.
Yeah.
He was smooth.
Well, you brought up a line that Paul used often, and that is the airplanes bring us together, but the people keep us coming back. And the longer that I'm here at this event, the more that is true. And I find that I spend more time visiting with folks than I do actually looking at airplanes, which, much to my disappointment when I get home and I start reading Sport Aviation, I said, I missed that airplane. But it really is the people. people. I mean, I think about the two of you, for example, and lots of other folks that I've met through the years and had the opportunity to spend time with and interact with. Never would have happened if Paul wouldn't have decided to start an organization like this.
Started this whole thing, yeah. I can remember you as a young punk on standing on top of the standing on top of the comm center doing a live broadcast from that was the college radio station.
Right? Yeah, it was.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it was a rainstorm too, if I remember correctly.
Rainstorm. Yeah, well, yeah. I remember you out in the rain. Yeah.
I believe you told me at the time that I was so young I wasn't smart enough to come out of the rain.
That's right. You're right. AKA Jack B. Diddley. We had some good times in those days. Talking about flying. We used to go to Rockford in the early days, week before, to set up our stuff, which was five speakers and a 50-watt amplifier and Howard or Paul borrowed four radios from the car. That was the communications in those days. And we'd go, and we had snow fence to put up and run wire along there with it. You young guys wouldn't remember these things, but they were old World War II magnetophones in a kind of a box like that, fuel wire and stuff. You don't remember that either. And that was our phone system, three of those things, and then 51 amplifier. So we'd go down there a week ahead. I think it was, 3 days down there? Is that what it was? I forget now how many days it was. It wasn't a whole week.
Right.
And we'd take the Twin Beach down there a week before, and Paul would fly us down, and there was Dick Mildebrandt and Don Gensmer and myself. We were the three comm guys. So we were flying down to Rockford this time, and he had to know Dick Mildebrandt. He worked for the Guard also with Paul, and had a very, very, very dry sense of humor. And he and I are sitting in the back, you know, back of the bulkhead there, and where passengers would normally sit. And Gensmer was flying the co-pilot seat, and Paul was letting him fly. So I had all trimmed up and everything there, and pretty soon Dick gets this gleam in his eye, and he says, so we get up and we walk to the back of the airplane now. See, now the tail is heavy, so it starts to climb. And Paul says, you know, points, Gensmer, he says, points at the rate of climb. You know. So Gensmer, he's adjusting the trim, you know, going along there. The old man, he knew what was going on. He was going along with the gag, see. And then Gensmer, we got all trimmed up, and we walked forward again. Now it's going down, see. You know, so he's pointing at the doggone gauge, you know, Paul is to Gensmer. Oh, so he's trimmed in there. Then we go back again, you know. So we're up and down like that. But we used to have a lot of fun just doing stuff like that. We took several trips together, Paul and I, in the airplanes, different ones. But, yeah, he was a good pilot.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I only had the opportunity to fly with him once, and that was in the 340, quite a few years ago. But I wasn't a pilot then, so I didn't fully comprehend exactly how smooth what the consummate pilot that he was at the time. But looking back at it now,
What's the 340?
340. Twin Cessna.
Oh, twin Cessna, yeah. That's
one of those modern ones.
Two motors. Yeah, yeah.
So before we're just about out of time, but Bob, if you could sum up what Paul's impact, not only to EIA, but the entire aviation community, how would you kind of categorize it?
That's a wow. I'll have to say his impact on me was tremendous.
Right.
Consider myself extremely fortunate in that respect. What he's done for aviation, look around you here. There's the people listening on the radio. If you haven't been to Oshkosh, you missed the greatest thing in the world. Come down, visit us at Vintage. We've probably got about 900 airplanes parked south of here right now, and more coming in. And even if there weren't airplanes, there'd be the people here. As Paul said, that's what's bringing us together, is the people.
Right.
They're what I'm here for.
Exactly. Any final thoughts, Ron?
No, Lumper, he pretty much covered it all, but he was a people person.
He was.
And, I don't know, he always liked us down here at the Comm Center. And And you look around, and like in our little waiting room downstairs, and this nice couch down there. That was in his mother's apartment before she passed. And he donated all their furniture, we had the kitchen table, things like that. And he was always good to us down here. Of course, he knew, you know, over all these years, you know, since, you know, in the 60s and stuff like that. And so we always got along good. And I was on a board for 10 years before I went to work for EA. And we did some flying together there, too. You don't have the time now, but I got a couple other stories I could tell, but that's all right. We'll just leave you hanging.
There we go. We'll encourage folks to come down to the Comm Center and look you up, Ron, and hear the rest of the story. You're just like Paul Harvey, right?
There you go. He was a neat guy, too.
Yeah. Well, gentlemen, thank you for joining me, and I was kind of getting this day off to a good start with some memories of Paul Poberesny. Of course, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that if it wasn't for Paul and Audrey, I wouldn't have met my wonderful wife, Julie, and got married, so... And I know several folks who have met through EIA.
Yes, absolutely. I met her before you did.
That's right. And that's a story for another day. I'll just leave it at that. It has something to do with dancing, and we'll just go from there. So anyway, thank you again for joining us, Bob Lumley, Ron Scott. Guys, have a great week. Enjoy it, and welcome to Oshkosh, as they say.
Thank you very much.
All right. We are live from the stand. And this is EIA Radio.